Okay, ladies and gentlemen, let us continue. I would have liked to start with a classic good afternoon, but clearly from the responses we've been getting, I'm not sure if people are listening to it in the afternoon, in the evening, or in the morning. So wherever you are in your day, may God be with you. Just to quickly summarize what we learned yesterday so that we can do a hazara, do a quick review to help us internalize these halachot, we began with the halacha that while lighting the candle, we should be careful to hold the match or the candle that we're using to light the wick next to the wick long enough that it takes hold, as opposed to just leaving it there and allowing the fire to kind of take hold on its own. We continued with the next halacha that said if a woman lights the candles and she suddenly turns around and realizes it went out, if she has sufficient time, she can be positive that it's not yet sunset, she should go back and light again without a beracha. However, if she's uncertain and she thinks that perhaps the sun already set or it's very close to that time and she's not even sure if she can make it, she should not go back and light the candles, because Shabbat is more important than the act of lighting the candles. We certainly don't want her to be Mechala Shabbat, God forbid, so we would just allow the mitzvah to unfortunately go without being relit. However, if she's from Ashkenaz descent and they have the custom that when they actually light the candles, they're Mekabel Shabbat, they accept Shabbat upon themselves, so clearly they won't be able to relight now, because for them it's Shabbat. You're not allowed to make a fire on Shabbat. Therefore, she can tell the members of her household to light in her stead, and that would be perfectly acceptable. It would be considered that she has the candles for Shabbat. Of course, we do not need to turn the lights off before we actually light the candles. It's fine if the lights are on and we light on top of that. Preferably, we also mentioned that we should be in Begdei Shabbat. We should already be dressed in Shabbat clothing before we light the candles to accept the Shabbat and greet the Shabbat in the full glory with everything that we already have made up. The Gemara actually says a story about one of the Tanaim that he used to get dressed in beautiful clothing, and he used to tell those around him, come greet the Shabbat queen together with me. He would kind of walk out into the street and like greet, so to speak, the Shabbat queen. He would almost make it like it was a real figure, and that would really give tremendous honor to the Shabbat. So to hear when we're accepting Shabbat, in other words, we're inviting Shabbat in, we're bringing it in, we should try and be dressed properly for the occasion. However, if you are not sure that you'll be able to get dressed with sufficient time to then light afterward, certainly the mitzvah of lighting the candles is more important than being dressed properly before you light the candles. It's best to cover your hair before you make the beracha, so you can put a handkerchief or something on top of your head before you do make that beracha. And we spoke how this mitzvah is really particularly for the women, because they're the ones who are generally responsible for making sure that the house runs smoothly. Therefore, the mitzvah of Shalom Bayit, keeping the peace in the home, is accorded to them. Therefore, they're the ones who should light the candles to make sure that there's sufficient light. But if the man wants to participate in some way, he can either prepare the candles or he can check the lights in the house to make sure that they are in the correct order that he wants them to be in order for when he does accept the Shabbat and he brings it in, he was the one responsible to making sure that the lights that need to be on are on and those that are off are off. And he too will have a portion of the beracha that his children will be Talmidei Chachamim. He'll benefit as well from that great blessing. Halacha Yud Bet. Let's continue from here anew. Gam isha revakah dala levada. If you have a woman who is single, she never got married, and she lives alone in her apartment, and she says, you know, of course I don't have to light candles. You only light candles when you get married. Or if, God forbid, you have a woman who's a widow or divorced, she's required, she's responsible, obligated, to light the candles on Erev Shabbat and Erev Yotov. Let's say you have a guy who's more religious than his wife. For whatever reason, his wife says, you know what, lighting candles is not for me. I'm not interested. If you want to light candles, if you want to keep Shabbat, do whatever you want, but I'm not going to be the one lighting candles in the home. So the man tells himself, I know that the halacha is, it's a mitzvah special for the woman. So you know what? I won't light candles at all because my wife doesn't want to light candles. What should I do? I'll go to shul. I'll accept Shabbat upon myself. I'll do everything I have to do. But lighting candles is not my mitzvah. It's, I can't force my wife to do it. The halakha actually is every home needs to have a candle. Therefore, he himself should actually light the candles in lieu of his wife. What happens if he has a grown-up daughter who's still living at home? He tells his daughter, you know what? Mommy doesn't want a light, but the mitzvah is a mitzvah primarily for women. Why don't you light instead of me? I'm a man. I shouldn't be the one doing it. In fact, since he is the balabait, he is the one of the more important figures in that home. He should be the one to light over his daughter, and preferably it should be the woman of the household. Next in command would be the man himself. However, if he is ill or he's older and it's too difficult for him to actually light these candles by himself, his daughter is able to go ahead and light those candles instead of him, because he's not capable. But it means to say that that's only in an instance where she can't do it on her own. However, if she's capable of doing it, certainly the husband should be the one to do it. So, of course, the order of hierarchy would be the woman of the household is the most special if she can do it. Second would be the husband, and third would be, in the case that he can't do it, to have his daughter do it. Af mishu nasoy v'shovet levado v'beto. This is a very, very common scenario on both ends. If someone's married, and for whatever reason his wife is out, either because she's in the hospital. I know this happened to me twice by my first two children, Bli Ayin Hara. Miriam gave birth on a Thursday, and she spent Shabbat in the hospital. So I was home alone, I would have to light. Or if she travels just for no special reason, she went to visit her parents for the weekend and you're not able to come, you're not around. You, if you're home alone, still are required to light both men and women. Whatever the exact scenario may be, wherever you are, wherever you're going to be, you are required to light Shabbat candles with a beracha. So if your wife is not home, you're responsible to light the candles. And the same would be true for a man who's traveling, but we'll discuss that in a bit. What happens if you tell yourself, you know what? My wife's not in the hospital. She's perfectly fine. She went to visit her mother for Shabbat. She's going to light by her mother's house. So why do I need to light in my house? I'm alone. I'm not going to be even eating here. I'm going to be eating by my friends. I don't want to eat alone. So what's the point of lighting? Actually, the halakha is he should light, because every household needs to have a Nerot Shabbat. Therefore, even if his wife is lighting in a separate location, he needs to light as well. Next halacha, halacha yudal, me'ikar halacha. Ideally, en chova klal al abanot haravakot hasmuchot hashulchan odehem lahadik Nerot Shabbat. The single woman in the household, the single girls that are growing up in their parents' household, they don't need to light a candle on Shabbat. Me'olam lo nahagu benot ha-Sfaradim la'asod ken. Historically, the custom of the Sephardic tradition was never to have the single girls light in the house. Interestingly enough, my in-laws are by all means Sephardic. Both my mother-in-law and father-in-law were actually born in Morocco, and they have a custom in their family that all the single girls light candles together with the parents. So the mother will make the beracha. Of course, they don't make their own beracha. But my mother-in-law made the beracha, and all the single girls would stand around and light their own candles. So here he's saying that it's not really a minhag sfaradi. But in any event, umikol makom, emi yesh birtzonan lehitnaheg b'hasidut, ulahachmir la'atzman hadik nirot Shabbat b'hadrehen. If they want to, they really want a part of that mitzvah. They think it's a beautiful mitzvah. They want to contribute in some way. They feel like they should be lighting something. They can light, but they should not be lighting with beracha. If they want, and they're not supposed to be making a beracha, but if they want to somehow connect to that beracha, they should hear their mother or the balabayit of the household make that beracha, and then they can light wherever they are without a beracha. So the next few halachot pertain to students that are in a dormitory. Bahur halomed b'yeshiva im pnimiya tzarich lehadik nerot Shabbat b'cheder hashina shelo. A student who's boarding in a dormitory needs to light candles in his room. B'tzarich shehanerot yihu gedolim shi'ur shekasha yachzor misudat la Shabbat yishalu dlukim. Generally, we always want to benefit from the candles. Therefore, if we're eating out by guests, and we have these, say, those little tea lights, then you know they last for 45 minutes to an hour. But you're going out to eat by your friends immediately after lighting. So you're not going to be home for the initial few minutes of the lighting. And then you're going to go to your friends, you're going to have dinner with your family, and you're not going to get back for another 2-3 hours. And by the time you come home, the candles are out. That is not good. We want you to benefit in some way from those lights. So if you know you're going to be out, you should try and light lights that are going to last a little bit longer. For example, you light with oil and you add a little bit more oil as opposed to water. So this single, he's first discussing a boy. In the next case, he discusses a girl who's also in a dormitory. But this single boy should make sure that when he's eating out, the candles that he lit before Shabbat are going to last long enough that when he comes back from his meal, he'll still be able to benefit from the light. He should first make the beracha and then light the candles. However, if there's a few students in one dormitory, when I was in Israel, we had these apartments that there were a bunch of boys living in together. For example, we would rent an apartment, and a three-bedroom apartment. Each room would have two guys. So there was six guys in the dira, we called it, in the apartment in Israel. One candle needs to be lit, and that is sufficient for the entire group. So, and if we generally didn't eat there alone, we would eat by local families, American families that were in Israel or Israeli families that would invite us. We had to make sure that we had enough light to be able to last all the way up until whenever we would get back for about a half hour once we got back. So too, the law would apply to girls that are in a dormitory that are studying. They should also light. So this is contrary to popular belief. Most people assume that because their parents are lighting or whatever it is, once they're away in university or they're away in Israel for their gap year or whatever it is that they're doing, they don't need to light. Somebody's covering me. But really, every household and every room which is being lived in should have a light. Preferably, according to Sephardic opinion, we light in the place that we're sleeping. The Ashkenazim ideally light where they eat. However, Sephardic custom is to make sure you light where you're sleeping. That's why he keeps on referring to a dormitory. However, if there's a number of girls living together, one of them should light and have all the other ones in mind. You don't have to have every single girl lighting. The same instance that we had in the last halacha with the boys that are living in a dormitory together, they can also light one, and that would be sufficient for the entire group. Bahur avak, halacha yud zayin. A single boy, halamed v'pnimiya, that's learning in a dormitory, he's learning in a yeshiva or a dormitory, or a girl that's learning in a dormitory, they're going to eat by someone who invited them, an acquaintance or family. If they're going to be coming back, they should make sure to light in the dormitory room that they're sleeping. Now, the problem is, what happens if I need to travel 20 minutes? I remember in Israel this happened all the time. We would be eating a half-hour walk, and we wouldn't want to have to walk both ways. So what we would do is we would take a cab before Shabbat to the location that we were going to be, the area that we were going to be in. And then after the meal, it was beautiful. We would walk back a half hour. Now this person thinks to himself, but once I light candles, I'm already accepting Shabbat upon myself. So how do I figure out, how do I go about lighting these candles? Now, once Peleg HaMenha comes, which is about an hour and a quarter before Shikia, about an hour and 15 minutes. Obviously, depending on the winter months, it's going to be even shorter than an hour and 15 minutes. And in the summer months, it's going to be even longer than an hour and 15 minutes. It really fluctuates which is not for a discussion that we'll have now. It's a very complicated discussion, but there's no hours in the Jewish calendar. We don't have 60-minute hours. We have something called Shaot Zmaniot. Our hours fluctuate. Depending on the amount of daylight that is outside, we divide that in 12. So in the summer, where the daylight can stretch far past 12 hours, we're going to divide the daylight into 12, and then we'll have sometimes 80-minute hours, sometimes even a little more. And in the winter, when it's very short, we can have 40-something-minute hours as opposed to the 60-minute standard American hour. Now, such a person who knows he's leaving before Shabbat, he's already allowed to light from Peleg HaMenhah and on. So from about an hour and 15 minutes before Shikiyah, we'll just use a roundabout number for now, he can already light the candles, or she can light the candles before she travels to wherever she's going to go. Obviously, she should have in mind that she's not accepting Shabbat with the lighting of the candles. She's only going to light the candles now and accept Shabbat when she gets to the location that she's going. We will, Be'ezat Hashem, continue from this halacha when we pick up tomorrow.